Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you want to use the Pew Bible, it's page 920. And this morning we're starting the last chapter in Ephesians. And I get this sense of excitement when we get close to finishing a book, because if you've been with us over the last 5 months, if you've been with us for most of these Sundays, you should have a much better grasp of the book of Ephesians. In fact, you should have a better grasp of the theology of Ephesians. You should have a better grasp of the application of Ephesians. And ultimately, you should have a better grasp of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I get excited as we're coming to the end of this book. And also, I'm excited, in a couple of weeks, we're going to start this over again in the book of James. And so I hope you can join us as we go through the book of James. But first, we have one last chapter, Ephesians 6, to dive into. And chapter 6 begins with a message to children and their parents. Last week, we looked at God's blueprint for marriages, that in chapter 5, that wives should submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, and that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. And as we look at God's instruction to children and parents, we can't forget chapter 5. We must remember, if we want Christ-exalting homes, if we want gospel-proclaiming homes, if we want God-glorifying homes, then we have to build them on the foundation of godly marriages. And I thought about this yesterday, and this is quite the statement, but I believe it's warranted. There's perhaps not a more important section of the Bible to remedy the situation that we are in as a nation than Ephesians 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And what I mean by that is becoming more clear with each passing year that we have a problem in the home in America. And it's been said, as goes the home, so goes the nation. And so when the home is broken, the nation will follow suit. The problems that we're seeing with rampant drugs and crime and homelessness and sexual immorality and moral degradation and the apostasy of the youth and even the economic situation that our nation is facing right now with a ballooning national debt, it can all be traced back to the home. Are we building homes based upon what we think is right? Are we building homes based upon what culture tells us to do? Or are we building homes based upon what God's word says is right? And one of the church's jobs is to equip fathers and to equip mothers to build their homes upon the word of God. So starting with your marriage and then working out to your children, and then that bearing fruit in your grandchildren, and then even your great-grandchildren. And I know that's not a quick fix for the mess we're in, but it's taken generations for us to get where we are. And it's going to take generations of fathers and mothers to stand up and say, I'm going to do it God's way. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what my friends even say. I don't care what the so-called experts say if they neglect the word of God. We're going to do it God's way, and we're going to do it according to God's word. With that being said, let us have ears to hear God's word to children and to their parents from Ephesians 6, verse 1 and following. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Church, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is so practical. Your word is the remedy for our nation. Because ultimately, Lord, you are the remedy. You alone are the remedy. So, Lord, I ask that you would give us eyes to see this truth this morning and give us hearts that are supple, hearts that are malleable under the hands of God. And Lord, I ask that you would help us all to embrace this truth and to live this out by your grace in Jesus' name. Well, this week, we're going to look at part one of this passage. So we're going to look at God's instruction primarily to the children, although I will address parents. And next week, we'll come back for part two in verse four, God's instruction to the parents. In verse one, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, one of the marks of a Christian home is obedient children. Now, of course, this doesn't imply perfect obedience. Children will sin. They will sin a lot. And there will be even stages of a child's life that are more challenging than others. But in the Christian home, the children are being actively taught by the parents to obey their parents and to obey all God-given authority. And this is hard work, isn't it, parents? This is really hard work. One of the reasons I think parents neglect this is because of how demanding it is. I mean, you cannot take one day off. Because children don't just come into the world wanting to obey, do they? When Adam and Eve plunged all of this creation into sin when they rebelled against God, every child born from their seed except the Son of God came into this world with a sinful nature. In fact, if you want an undeniable proof for Christianity, have children. Because Christianity is the only religion that tells us all of our children will sin, and it tells us why. And because of this sinful nature, children do not naturally want to obey their parents, especially around that 2 to 3 year old age. And I'm told it comes back in their teenage years. They start testing the boundaries. They start being more vocal in their rebellion of their parents' authority. And they really like saying this word, no. Sometimes right in your face. I mean, they don't naturally say, "Yes, Father, according to your good and wise command, I'm going to brush my teeth and I'm going to be very happy about it." No, that doesn't happen. They throw tantrums. They scream, they shout, they fight, they kick. Sometimes my kids spit. They do according to their sinful nature, okay? And we've all been there without exception. So children, your parents did the same thing, if not worse. When I think about how challenging our three-year-old is right now, God often reminds me of my own toddler years. Apparently, when I was 2 and 3, if I got a spanking, I would hold my breath and throw myself on the ground until my face turned blue. My parents took me to the doctor. They were like, "What's going on? We think he's going to kill himself." I mean, and the doctor just said, "Well, don't spank him anymore. Lock him in his room." And apparently that fixed it. But But the point is, children don't want to obey their parents. It's unnatural to them. And really, if it was up to the kids, they would never obey anyone. They must be taught obedience by their parents. And if they're not taught to obey authority by their parents, it's a high likelihood they will break the law as teenagers and as adults. And if they aren't killed by doing something foolish, they may end up in prison. But there's more at stake in teaching our children to obey than just producing law-abiding citizens, as important as that is. Because the ultimate goal for parents teaching their children to obey their authority is so that the children will be taught to obey God's authority. I'm going to say that again. The ultimate goal, parents, of teaching your children to obey your authority is so that you would teach them to obey God's authority. This word obedience has fallen on hard times in our society. But it doesn't take long to read through the Bible to find out, man, this obedience thing is pretty important. In fact, did you know that when we were first converted to Christ, we obeyed a command? Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that God now commands all people everywhere to repent. So the first thing that a person does when they become a Christian is they obey God's command to repent and believe the gospel. Now, obedience to that command is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, as all obedience is. Even our obedience today is empowered by the Holy Spirit. But it's still the person who obeys. Do you see that? And from the moment of that initial obedience, they continue to become more and more obedient in their Christian life. Many people wrongly assume that commands are only a part of the Old Testament. But listen to this. I was actually shocked by this when I found this out this week. There are over 1,000 commands in the New Testament for Christians. Over 1,000, including 4 in our passage today. And so, church, obedience is not a side issue. In fact, Paul describes his own ministry in the book of Romans as bringing about the obedience of faith. And that's such a helpful phrase, the obedience of faith, meaning this: our obedience to God ultimately flows out of a heart of faith in God. And so it's very important for parents to understand this bigger picture when we're teaching our children to obey. Ultimately, we are training our children that it's right to obey God. Do you see that? And in so doing that, we are laying the groundwork. We're laying the framework for that all-important day when that, by God's grace, they will obey God's command to repent and believe in Christ. Which is why Paul says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is not modifying the parents, as in obey your Christian parents or obey your parents who are in the Lord. This is modifying the command to obey. And what I mean by that is, ultimately, the reason and the motivation for children to obey is that you will be obeying the Lord. When you obey your parents, children, you are obeying God. It's not because we're God, far from it. But God has placed the parents in a position of authority over the child. And so when the child honors and obeys that authority, they're ultimately honoring and obeying God. Last week I said you can get a glimpse of a wife's relationship with the Lord based on how she submits to her husband. And I also said you can get a glimpse of the husband's relationship with the Lord based on how he loves his wife. Well, this week, you can get a glimpse of a child's relationship with the Lord, especially as they get into their teenage years, by how they obey their parents. Colossians 3:20 says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's very pleasing to the Lord when children obey. And parents, we're going to have to connect the dots for our children on this. They're not going to learn this from the culture, are they? Some cultures in the past have taught this, but ours certainly does not today. Turn on almost any kids show on TV. There's going to be subliminal messages to teach the child to disrespect and disobey their parents, especially fathers. And these media companies, they know exactly what they're doing. The public school system is not any better. In fact, here in California, which is the most progressive public school agenda in the country, on July 15th of this year, Governor Newsom signed into law that if a child in the public school system decides they want to transition, meaning they get confused and they decide they no longer want to be a boy, they want to be a girl, or vice versa, the law forbids the teacher from telling the parents without first getting the child's permission. That just happened. And California is the only state in the union that has such a law in place. And notice what has happened. The system first taught the child to disregard their parents' authority, and then the system has replaced the parents' authority. And so let this be a wake-up call for parents. If our children are going to learn the truth, they have to learn it from us. They have to learn it from the home. They have to learn it from the church. And look at the motivation that Paul says in verse 1 for children obeying their parents. He says, for this is right. Just simply, for this is right. The child says, why do I need to obey? For this is right. This is almost like saying, because I told you so. Children, you don't need to know anything more about why you need to obey your parents, then God says it's right. And if God says it's right, you can be well assured this is the best path of blessing and joy in your life. And by the way, I want you to notice that Paul is directly addressing children here in chapter 6. He begins the chapter with children, and he does the same thing in Colossians. And that means something. That means that Paul expected the children to be present in the corporate gathering. Do you see that? He expected the children who could understand to be present with their parents to hear the teaching of God's word. That brings me to verses 2 and 3. Paul is continuing his exhortation to the children, and he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, hopefully, if you've been in the church for some time, this command should sound familiar. You'll notice in your Bibles that there's quotations around honor your father and mother and that it will go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And these are quotes because Paul is taking this directly from the Ten Commandments. And this is so important. I want you guys to see this in your Bible. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can turn to page 57. But keep your spot, if you haven't lost it already. We'll be back to Ephesians 6 in a little bit. Exodus chapter 20. So if you found Exodus 20, you have found the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai after he had delivered them from the bondage in Egypt. And in order to prepare them to go into the Promised Land, he gives them these commandments. Because Canaan was filled with idolatry. It was filled with immorality. And these commands were designed to guard them from the immorality in the land and to show them that they were a holy people set apart to God. The first four commandments are vertical. They deal with our relationship with God. And the last six commandments are horizontal. So they deal with our relationship with man. And look with me to verse 12. This is the fifth commandment. And this is the first of the commands that deal with our human relationships. And this is the verse that Paul quotes in Ephesians. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." Now, does it surprise you that Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments in the New Testament? It shouldn't, because the Ten Commandments are still in effect today. Now, the ceremonial aspects of the commands that Israel followed, particularly with the Sabbath, are not the same for us, but the moral principles of these laws are still in place. And one of the proofs of that is Paul quotes directly from the Ten Commandments in Ephesians, and he doesn't even give any explanation for what he's doing. He assumes that they know what he's doing. He assumes that they already know the Ten Commandments, and most likely, Paul taught them the Ten Commandments himself when he planted that church. But there's something unique. If you go back to Ephesians 6, there's something unique about the fifth commandment that Paul tells us in Ephesians 6. In parentheses, in verse 2, he says, "This is the first commandment with a promise." And so those parentheses, that's Paul's commentary on this commandment. And this is really remarkable when you think about this, guys. This is the first commandment. In fact, this is the only commandment in the Ten Commandments where God attaches a reward to those who obey it. Isn't that remarkable? He doesn't give any reward to the first four commandments that deal with God, us honoring God. He just says, just obey these. But when he comes to the fifth commandment, the first of the horizontal commandments, he attaches a reward. And here's what I think is going on here. The commandment to honor and obey your father and mother is so important because the parents are the very ones that God has called to teach their children all the other commands of God. Do you see that? And so if a child follows this commandment, if a child honors and obeys his parents or her parents, most likely they're going to follow suit on the other commands. And so God incentivizes this commandment with a promise. And children, I know it can be tough sometimes to obey your parents. You see inconsistencies. You see sin. You see failure. But God promises a reward if you will obey this. And here's the promise. It will go well with you. It will go well with you, and you will live long in the land. And the idea is this. If the children of the nation honor their father and mother, the nation will flourish. They will be blessed. It will go well with them. And this is also like a canary in the coal mine. It's one of the first signs that the future of a nation is going downhill. If the children stop obeying and stop honoring their parents, that generation is most likely going to turn from God and turn to idols. And it's not going to go well with them. They're going to bring judgment upon themselves and their nation. And so, how do you think we're doing in America? More importantly, how do you think the church is doing in America? And so I hope you see that this is a vital component for the health of the home. It's a vital component for the health of the church. And it's a vital component for the health of the nation. And also, this is the path forward. If we want to turn this sinking ship around, Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 is the blueprint. Godly marriages, godly homes, raising children in the Lord. Now, someone may say, what's the difference between obeying your parents and honoring them? Is there a difference? Well, I don't think Paul meant for much of a difference here, but there is a difference in application. Obedience is for when the child is under the authority of their parents. So they're living under their roof, the parent is providing for them. And when that is the case, the child is obligated to obey their parents. But when the child becomes older and moves out, they leave the home, they're no longer under the authority of their parents. And the parent takes more of a counseling role in the child's life. But here's the difference. Honoring our parents is for life. We are always called to honor our parents. And so if you have a parent that's alive, you should seek to honor them as best as you can. Look for ways to honor them, because in so doing, you will be honoring the Lord. In closing, I want to ask, how are we to respond to this message? The answer for all of us, whether you have young children, as I do, or whether you have adult children, or whether you're a child yourself, the answer is in verse 1. In the Lord. The phrase, in the Lord. Have you obeyed the command to repent and believe in the Lord? That's the key to establishing Christian homes, establishing Christian marriages, and healthy churches. And if you have not obeyed this command, by God's grace, may this be the moment where you obey the command to repent and believe in the Lord. And for children, never forget that the Lord is pleased when you obey your parents. Never forget that the Lord is pleased when you honor your parents. Don't follow the example of the world. Don't follow the example of Taylor Swift. Don't follow the example that this culture is trying to teach you. Instead, be a light in your generation. Be an example of Christ-likeness. Be an example of someone who honors and obeys their parents. And in so doing, you will be honoring God. And lastly, parents and grandparents. Let us be praying for our children. Children are under attack in this nation like never before. There is a massive spiritual war going on. And so we must be on guard. We must be prepared. We must be diligent in praying for them, diligent in raising them. And may we always be asking the Lord to protect them and lead them. And we will talk more about the parents' role, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray.